And by the way, if you look out in nature, which for me is where all the answers to everything resides, if you look out in nature, it's constantly in a state of change. And yet it works because there isn't resistance to it. You see, a plant doesn't resist going through the stages it goes through, from seed to plant to flower. The foliage doesn't resist the change of the seasons. It's because none of that has that little extra added benefit that we have as humans, which is called free will. So because we have free will, because we get to choose whether we move forward or not, we have this built-in opportunity, if we so choose, to misuse free will and to resist change. And when you resist change, you stay stagnant. And when you're stagnant, you are in opposition to everything that life is meant for you to do, which is growth and creativity. So that's the change piece. Now, the fearless piece, which is my mantra, I mean, my new book, The Lightworker's Handbook, everyone who buys the book also gets a wristband that says fearless change. I live by that motto. I live and I repeat that mantra, and I wear the bracelet myself every day to remind me as well. The fearless piece is understanding what fear is and what it's meant to do. So fear, I like to say to people that fear is like pain. Pain is meant to bring you present. It isn't meant to make you suffer. So that when you break your arm, let's say, and you've been in a cast, and they take the cast off and they tell you, well, go home, but be careful with the use of the arm. And then the phone rings and you reach out quickly with your arm to grab it, and that pain shoots through your arm because, you weren't supposed to move that arm that fast in that way. That's all pain is. Pain is meant to bring us present in our lives so that we get very focused on what's happening in the moment. The reason you lunge for the phone is because you're not present. You're not thinking about your motion. You're thinking about quickly answering the phone. So your mind has left the present, and that's when you create harm or potential harm for yourself, as in a negative experience. Fear is the same way. Fear has a function and a purpose, and its function is to bring you present and give you extraordinary perception and ability in the moment when you are in a life-threatening situation. That is the only time fear is meant to be used, when you are in a life-threatening situation. Now, again, if we look out at nature and we look at what the animal kingdom does, when an animal is being chased by a predator, it becomes rightfully frightened. It kicks up all of its faculties for escape and preservation. And if by some unfortunate chance it gets caught by the predator, it has a series of activities it can perform to try to save its own life. One of them is feigning death. It will appear to be dead, hoping, not consciously hoping, but the instinct is the predator will drop it and let it go because it will have killed its prey and move on. It will go into shock, that animal, if it quickly doesn't have the ability to come out of that state of feigned death. If it doesn't have the ability to come out of shock, it will die. It will die. So once the threat is removed, you'll see a bird that's been terrorized, traumatized, shocked by a predator. You may see a bird on the ground acting absolutely frozen and immobilized. But when the threat is removed, in a few moments or 20 minutes, you'll see that bird fly off, always to your amazement if you've watched the experience. Well, that's because the bird no longer feels threatened, and it goes on about its life. Now, here's the interesting thing. The bird goes on about its living, never again worrying about that predator. It doesn't fly around the rest of the day thinking, I wonder where that wolf is, I wonder where that eagle is, I wonder if it's around the next corner. It doesn't hold the fear. It uses it for the moment it needs it, and then it releases it. We humans, because we have free will, don't know how to let go of fear. And as a result, we A, carry it long after we need to, and B, we use it in inappropriate situations. So here's what happens. Because we're not being chased by dinosaurs, and we're not being chased by tigers and lions, but when we see the Twin Towers coming down, we are rightfully fearful. On the moment, in that moment when we first see it happen, and this is a perfect analogy for today, because the source of that terror has now been eliminated from our reality, thankfully, to go on and learn its lessons about consciousness and oneness, and of course I'm talking about Osama bin Laden. When the towers came down, when they were struck, we were rightfully terrified. We were threatened. We felt our own safety at issue. What happens when we have those feelings, Sandy, is we begin to emit chemicals in our body, which are toxins. They are deadly, but they are meant to be emitted through our hypothalamus and our other transitory systems in our body that transmit chemicals and hormones. They are meant to be emitted because for a brief period of time, they give us strength, physical strength beyond the norm. They give us focused intention. They give us the skills we need to get away from the threat. And that's what fear is meant to do. It's meant to create extraordinary ability within yourself to bring you very present, to get you away from the life-threatening situation. But here's the thing. When the eagle stops or the wolf stops or the towers stop, we don't. We hold on to the fear, and with that, we hold on to the toxins. So every time we watch the towers come down, because they only came down once, but we watched it 5, 10, 20, 30, we'll still watch it. I'll bet it will be on the news today, recalling
September 11th. At some point, yes, I bet it will.
And every time you watch your body, because every cell in your body has memory, your body, every cell in your body has intelligence. Your intelligence is not located in your brain. Your intelligence is located throughout your body, in every cell. We only think and talk about intelligence being in our brain because that's where the greatest concentration of cells are in the human body. So we assume and we think that the intelligence is located in our brain. It is not. It is located in every cell of your body. So every cell of your body, when it watches the towers come down, remembers the fear and the threat and emits the toxins, which ultimately, when they are not terminated from constantly releasing into the system, cause disease. That's one of the main places that illness comes from. And so fearless change is really about understanding that fear has a very limited positive function in our lives, that holding on to it in non-life-threatening situations is not productive, is not helpful, does not allow us to move into our highest potential, which is we get there through change, doesn't allow us to move into our highest potential, and actually acts as an inhibitor to our own growth because change does not cause stress. Resistance to change causes stress, and resistance to change comes from being fearful of it.
Huh, like if you were terribly rejected at one point in your life and you remember the feeling of it, and so you fear rejection because of that remembered reaction to it. Yes? Now am I on the right track here?
Yes. Yes, you're on the right track. That's what we do.
All right. So that kind of leads into my next question for you. There are so many people who can't get out of their own way, so to speak. because of their fears or patterns they aren't actively aware of in their lives. They're not living in the now. And I believe that this keeps us from realizing our own individual superpowers that I believe we all have. What do you think is the key issue that prevents us from moving forward?
Well, the key issue is, in fact, fear. And you just said a person who is rejected earlier in their life who fears rejection, and I want to make the point again that using fear to manage sadness of rejection is a misapplication and an inappropriate and harmful use of fear. Because fear is not meant, you should not fear rejection. You should be aware of how sad it felt, how badly it felt to feel rejected and to confront and deal with that feeling directly instead of pushing that feeling away by fearing it, because that's what we do. You see, you said, if I remember correctly, you said something about people who aren't aware of their patterns. And I would say to you that we're all aware of our patterns. It's a matter of, do we want to recognize and do the work it takes to reorganize those patterns? Because, you know, I practiced family law. I was an attorney, and I practiced family law, which is fundamentally divorce law, for 13 years. And I represented at the time predominantly women, just through chance. I didn't intend it to be that way, but I represented predominantly women in high-asset divorce cases. And without question and without exception, if a woman came to me in the beginning of a divorce and said, oh, I had no idea that he was having an affair, I'm devastated, or I had no idea we had financial difficulties, it was a shock to me, or I had no idea he had these problems, I had no idea he had an addiction, I was always respectful, but I also always knew that before the divorce was over, she and I would come to the moment when she would say, you know what, I really did know, I just didn't want to deal with it. Because we always know. We are not unenlightened. We simply choose to be unconscious. And when we're unconscious, we do seem to be unenlightened. Our highest self is, as I, you know, the expression I use, and it's not mine, but it's one I like, we are non-local awareness temporarily inhabiting a body, meaning we are an awareness, a consciousness that is so much grander, broader, more expansive than the locality that we occupy within our body. We are an immensely grand consciousness. We are non-local, and we are an awareness that is infinite. And we happen to temporarily be experiencing something through the limitation of a body. So that non-local awareness knows everything. It has the capability and the possibility to know everything if we want to open up our mind. You know, consciousness is like radio frequency. There's AM and there's FM, but there's a whole bunch of other frequencies. You can't get FM music if you're only tuned in to AM. And you can't get AM music if you're only tuned in to FM. Well, you can only receive information on a frequency in which you've tuned in. And so psychic phenomena is not all that incredible and not all that remarkable if people would open up to receiving and transmitting on a frequency that's not the one they're used to using. And so I believe that people, and it's my experience, that people know, we have knowing. It's just that it's difficult. Let's not kid ourselves. I've faced many of my own patterns and with great difficulty made adjustments, adaptations, repatterned, reorganized my own behavior. And it takes a tremendous amount of effort. But for me, here's the thing. For me, there's no challenge not worth taking if it will move me closer to the truth. So I would rather face anything for the benefit of getting closer to what is real and what is true. And what is real and what is true is rarely what we see on the surface. It generally takes a deeper investigation, a more open consciousness, a willingness to uncover things that we may not have wanted to have seen, but in the end turn out to work to our advantage. So I'm a big proponent of looking beyond, looking within, because I think that's the only journey worth taking, is the journey within, which is where all the answers are. Let me just add, Sandy, for me, we are living in a time when there are no experts. There's nowhere to go outside yourself to get answers to what you're being confronted with now in your life. Those answers are within you. You have been born with everything you need, all the tools, all the capabilities, all the creativity. You have been born with everything you need to access and live your highest self. And that's why systems seem to be falling apart all around us, because those systems were meant to keep you from that very knowledge. Those systems were in place to control large groups of people to the benefit of a few. And we have reached a moment when those systems are breaking down and other experiences are emerging that seem so incredible, and what do we do about them and how do we resolve this? And the answer is go within and ask yourself that very question, because you are as capable as anyone else of solving any problem that you're experiencing in your life and even beyond. And as you resolve your own personal challenges, you contribute to the larger resolution of global challenges and even larger universal cosmic challenges, because we're all connected. On a conscious level, in consciousness, there's only one non-local awareness. So when you flap your wings in New Jersey, wind patterns change in Japan or in Europe. It's just a matter of time, because every action each one of us takes affects everyone else at some point in time. We just don't always get to be there to see the effect of our actions. And so now, as the world is in so much uncertainty, which is a good thing, it's an opportunity filled, it's an experience filled with opportunity. As we go through this uncertainty, and as we realize we're all connected, it's critical that you in your own life be fearless and confront change with an open mind and a full heart, realizing that you don't need to have fear. That will impede you. That will immobilize you. You need to fearlessly look at change as an opportunity to move into a higher self, a better life, a more peaceful, harmonious world that you yourself can literally affect and create by your daily actions, your daily choices. You know, Ayn Rand, the American author who wrote Atlas Shrugged,
she's my favorite author.
Ayn Rand said, if you're still suffering, check your premise, then choose again. Because if you're suffering, if you're fearful, which is what fear creates, if you're suffering, your premise is wrong. There's nothing to fear. If the lion isn't chasing you, there's nothing to fear. So check your premise and choose again. Our premise has been for thousands of years that we need governments, religions, experts, specialists to help us get through our lives. And while all of that can be interesting information, ultimately, you get through your own life by living it.
Well, I tell you what, Carol, I so regret not making this a one-hour show today, because I have been spellbound by what you're saying, and it's so resonating with me in so many ways that I don't even know where to start. And unfortunately, we only have a couple of minutes left, so I probably shouldn't start, but I'm hoping that I can have you come on again when we could continue this more, because if nobody else is listening, I am, and I need to hear more of this, and I want to hear more of this, because you're saying what I believe. I just didn't have the words to express it. So, gosh, I just want to thank you for joining us today and for sharing your energy with us and your vision with us. And I will encourage everyone out there, to visit www.carolgold.com and check out the links for her blog, books, and radio show. I wish I could introduce you all to her in person, because encountering her personal energy is like pulling back the curtains on your windows and feeling the morning sun hit you full force. She's a bright, sunny moment that makes you feel you found your own pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And I'm so grateful for her for being with us today.
And Sandy, yes. Excuse me. Can I just add? It's when the website is Carol with an E, Carole Gold.com.
I should have spelled that. You're right. Carole Gold.com. And I'll post the link on the radio page in a blog entry so everybody can find it.
Thank you. Can I leave your listeners with a thought?
Yes, please. Please.
Welcome change. Exercise forgiveness. Release outcomes, and remember, there's only one of us. So everything you think, say, and do affects the world, and therefore you matter.
I absolutely don't know that I have anything that could beat or top or add to what Carol has just given all of us. So I just want to leave you with, I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you know someone in your life who you see as a superwoman or man, please email me at averagewoman1215@comcast.net. I would love to have the opportunity to meet them and share their story with everyone. And thank you for stopping by today. I hope you all have a happy, safe, and powerful week. And remember, if the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence, try watering your own lawn. Goodbye for today.
Goodbye.
Carol, are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay, I'm going to hang up and call you back, because even though it's not streaming, it's still recording, okay?
Okay.
And thank you so much. I'll talk to you in a minute.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay?
Okay.
And thank you so much. I'll talk to you in a minute.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay?
Okay.
And thank you so much. I'll talk to you in a minute.